if you were asked who is the best mother of all time, then you'd probably say it was yours because of how much you loved her and saw how much she sacrificed for you. But what about in the Bible? If you were asked who was the greatest mother in the Bible, you might say it's Eve, because the fact of the matter is, if it wasn't for Eve, none of us would be here. But then again, you might ask, well, who else could fit that? And you might would say Mary, the mother of Jesus, because without her, none of us would be here in this church building worshiping the Father, the Spirit, and the one that was her physical son, too. I have thought for years about writing a sermon about Mary because I had never heard one preached. Now, Mary's talked about plenty, of course, in sermons and in classes, but not as the main point. So when I was asked to speak on Mother's Day this year at another congregation, I thought, well, pretty good time to write that sermon. So I finally wrote it, and it was an encouragement to me to finally delve into it like I had been wanting to do. And so this morning we'll be talking about Mary, and we'll look at five traits of hers that we can learn from. We can see her example and we can follow it. Now, our Catholic friends aren't afraid to talk about Mary. Matter of fact, I mean, they respect her to the point that they'll even pray to her. So it could be the case that maybe subconsciously, maybe we kind of shy away from delving a whole sermon into it just because, you know, we're trying not to go where we know one extreme already exists. But, I mean, you know, we don't have to go to an extreme just because we know of one. We just stick with the Bible. And that's what we'll do this morning, looking at Mary. And we will answer the question, you know, should we pray to her? We'll look at that at the very end. I'll let us mull over that for a little while. So our first point we're going to look at and things we can learn from Mary is her importance. This kind of is more of a historical point, just to see her importance. She was so important that before she was ever born, she was prophesied. Look at Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The New Testament quotes this because it's explaining that this prophecy is about to be fulfilled. Look at Matthew 1, 22 and 23. So all this was done, that is, the verses prior, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. You might say, well, we don't refer to that name very much when that was what he was to be called. Well, just like a lot of Bible characters, he went by more than one name. And Jesus would be his, you could say, regular first name. But Emmanuel, being translated, tells you something about him. And really, you can look throughout the scripture, and when you look at names in the history of names, you can find out they have meanings. I researched my name, and my name goes back to, well, I mean, it's in Acts 17, the house of Jason. Well, the root of that is, or the definition of Jason is healer. I'm not Dr. Jason, so maybe I didn't follow my calling. But it is interesting to look up words and what their meaning is. And there's a lot of names that you may have, your family may have, people you know have, that are in the scripture, and they actually were the people in the scripture given those names, A lot of the times we're given those names because there's something about them that tells a story. The name tells something about that person and their life. Now, when we look at Luke 1, 26 through 38, we see when Mary found out that her life was about to be completely different than what it used to be. She's told of her importance. Look at Luke 1, 26 through 38. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Now, that's importance. He gives three descriptions of how important she is. He says, "You are a highly favored one." He says, "The Lord is with you." And he says, "Blessed are you among women." Talk about knocking her back. I'm sure she was at least slightly surprised. No, her reaction is she would be more than slightly surprised. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. No surprise at that response, right? Then the angel said to her, a response that many angels throughout Scripture have had to tell people, "Do not be afraid." Now, when we picture angels, or we have them pictured for us, so when we think of angels, we automatically think what our culture has told us that they look like. We think, white apparel, peaceful being. Why in the world then tell me that almost all of them had to tell human beings, "Don't be afraid of me"? They didn't feel very peaceful about the presence of this different kind of being. They had to be told, "Don't be afraid. Mary, for you have found favor with God." In other words, hey, this could be an angel that's going to send a bad message. You in trouble and you fixing to be punished. So she didn't know what she's about to face. No, for you have found favor with God. You ain't being punished by this. You're being rewarded. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and he shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And that's one thing to reign decades. Boy, that's really, really special that a king would reign that long. This kingdom, his reign, not going to have an end. So not only are you blessed among women, he's going to be blessed among men. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Now this kind of knowledge she's talking about that would lead to being able to have a child born of you. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." God's going to provide. He'll drop him right in the spot he needs to be. He's going to house him for you. "Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, also has conceived a son in her old age." Now Mary wasn't old. "And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For without God, nothing will be impossible." God can do things that we don't expect. And God can do things that are miraculous. That's the point that's being made here. Whether through natural means or unnatural means, God can do amazing things. That's just what he's saying here when it comes to impossible. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now, is that the way you would have responded? Now, I'm not a woman, so I have to think a little harder. But the fact of the matter is, he was saying at the beginning, "You're special." Now, that might have made her feel good. But the thing is, you're so special, you're going to have a responsibility unlike any other. And it's a responsibility that no one else ever will have again. Now, he didn't put it this way, but she might could have figured it out on her own. It's interesting how people get in their minds, "Oh, man, the Super Bowl champions. Man, I like to play football, and oh, how I'd love to be on that team, and oh, it'd be so wonderful." Do you realize how hurt those players are that win the Super Bowl? How many injuries they play through? How they are ready to rest? They don't just show up to the Super Bowl and win with no preparation. They have to put a lot of effort in. With great honor first came, or first comes, great responsibility. I wouldn't want to be a war hero. Because what? How do you get to become a war hero? You got to go through a living nightmare first. We might think, "Oh, I wish I was," and nowadays you say, "Oh, I wish I was a CEO." Well, not nowadays, they're targets. Or, "I wish I was a president." Not nowadays, they're targets. But usually people say, "Oh, I wish I was wealthy." Usually, you had to work hard to get that, or someone else had to, one way or the other. What happens a lot of times when people win the lottery, there's a lot of people that don't want people to know it, because there have been people that have been killed because, "Oh, it was advertised. Hey, they got a bunch of money. I know who I can get money from now," and they kill them getting their money. We often think, "Oh, I wish I was, I wish I had, I wish this," and we forget how hard it is to get to that point. Mary was honored. She has an honor that for all time, she is the mother of Jesus, but that wasn't an easy thing to do. She still had to go through being a mother. She had to deal with things that no one ever has dealt with before. We've seen her importance. Now let's talk about her character. Well, like Paul and others were selected by God to fulfill a special role, she retained her free will. She could have turned the angel and God down. She could have. But she didn't, because God knew who he was picking. He knew he was picking somebody who was going to say yes. Think about Moses. Moses said yes after he first said no. And then said, "No way," and then said, "Get someone else." And God had to finally say, "I ain't getting nobody else. You're going to do this," because he knew he could do it. Not that God was forcing him, but that he knew he could do it. Once again, look at all Moses had to go through, but we're still talking about him today. With great honor first came great responsibility. She could have said, "Why me?" And it's kind of basically, she's kind of surprised, but she might have been like a "why me" saying, "I do not want this role," and it may be that she didn't want it, but she accepted it. We know she accepted it early on. If it was up to me, I'd be like, "Hey, give me some time to digest this. I got some more chewing to do. Needs to go down the track, take a little time." But no, she was ready. God knew she was ready to do it. What kind of attitude do we have when faced with heavy responsibilities? Do we have the Moses mindset or the Mary mindset? God, get someone else. Well, the thing about it is, we can often say, "Well, I go to a congregation that has a preacher and has elders. They can do the work on my behalf because I'm a member of this congregation, so that absolves me of the responsibility. As long as somebody does the work. Can an elder or a preacher be baptized into Christ for you? No. There's responsibilities that Christians have that we often think, well, but I'm not a special enough Christian. And I want to look and find a book, chapter, and verse for that again. It's not actually there. There's a lot of responsibilities Christians have that Christians who are also elders, elders' wives, elders' families, deacons, deacons' wives, deacon families, preacher. There's a lot of just Christian responsibilities that happen to blend in with these position responsibilities too. But now, with that said, I mean, there's still other heavy responsibilities we face in life. Well, what's our attitude? Boy, this is a hard one to live up to. Philippians 2:14, do all things without complaining. Well, it's a good thing that we don't have to earn our way to heaven, because that right there is going to knock out 99.999, 100% of us. We all complain. Good thing Jesus died on the cross to make up what we can't do, right? There's a lot we can't do. The blood of Christ takes care of it. We can't earn our way. And that is a hard verse to obey. Do all things without complaining. Well, think as well about, and it slips my mind, I believe it's in Philippians 2 that says, In all things give thanks. Well, okay, First Thessalonians 5, about 22-ish, something like that, says that. Well, that's equally as hard. I'm supposed to give thanks in my grief. Let's go back to grief. Let's give thanks in that. Well, you can give thanks in the fact that you had someone to miss. That's somewhere you can give thanks, for example. But which, what kind of attitude do we have when we face hard responsibilities? Do we do like Jonah and say, oh, I'm supposed to go this way, I'm going to go this way? It may take a little time to digest, but we got to be willing. It might take a little time, but we got to be willing first and then put forth the effort to actually fulfill it. Now, Philippians 2:13 actually ought to comfort us. When we think about 2:14, as hard as that is, look at 2:13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. God's going to help you. He's not going to say, do this very difficult thing. You're also, by the way, on your own doing it. No, he's there helping us. As long as we have the attitude of can't be done, don't like it, then we're pushing him aside. We're saying, I don't want your help, God. I don't even want to even attempt. But look at her importance. Look at her character. Look also at her faith. She believed the angel. You might say, well, of course she did. She was presented this by an angel. But go back to John 7:5 and John 7:12 when we think about Jesus. If only Jesus walked the earth today, more would be saved, we think. We think. Look at John 7:5. For even his brothers, talking about his siblings, did not believe in him. Well, what do you mean? But that's my first thought is, well, how could they not? But then the second thought is, well, of course they didn't. They grew up with it. They're like, hey, this is just kid Jesus of Nazareth. It's not the Son of God. Can't be. Now, James is one of his siblings, so over time, he changed his mindset, thankfully. Look at verse 12 of John 7. And there was much complaining among the people concerning him, concerning Jesus. Some said, he is good. Others said, no. On the contrary, he deceives the people. Only if Jesus walked the earth today, well, would we get the same response? I don't think that's really the Son of God. Same thing with the Apostle Peter preaching. 3,000 obeyed in Acts 2. Well, that's man. Wow, if only that today. Well, it was estimated by historians that there was maybe 1 million there. So maybe even more. So the percentage ain't quite as high as we think. But she believed the angel. So don't forget her faith. Where's ours? Also look at her willingness to make sacrifices. When she accepted God's role for her life presented by the angel, she was potentially going to make 2 sacrifices. And these are foundational. This isn't, I'm going to lose a car, but I can get another car. No, no, no. She was potentially going to lose Joseph. And you know, she almost did. Remember, Mary had to be confronted with the responsibility by an angel. So did Joseph. Now, Joseph's character was equally as good as Mary's. So they made a good couple. God, once again, picked well, didn't he? Joseph was willing to put her away privately. In other words, different than the culture, out in the open. In other words, he's willing to divorce her privately. He wanted to lessen the hurt on her reputation. He was concerned about her being with child, knowing it wasn't his. So that's why he wanted to separate. But he was such a good man, he didn't want her to be hurt. How many people are the opposite? They're like, hey, I'm getting a divorce and may they burn in hell. Now, that's not what they say, but that's how a lot of them feel. That's how a lot of them feel. Jesus said to love your enemies even if they're your ex, which means you don't want them in hell. We're not talking about feelings. We're talking about what you know is right and what you believe. Yeah, I am really burnt by that person, but I don't want them to experience hell. When we remember how lost we were, when we quit this comparison game and realize we're on the same level of being lost, it's not about how lost. Lost is lost. You don't deserve it any more, heaven any more than they do, whoever our enemy might be. But she was potentially going to lose Joseph and almost did, but did not. Once again, the presence of an angel didn't force Joseph to marry, to stay married to Mary. He didn't have to, but he chose to because of his character. And she didn't know that her reputation wasn't going to be destroyed for life. Because once again, Joseph wanted to put her away privately, wanted to divorce her privately. He wanted to spare her reputation from being destroyed because of the caliber man he was. She said yes to possibly losing everything. How much are you willing to sacrifice by saying yes to God? I don't like this any more than you do, having to think about. I don't know that I would have said yes. I'd have been like, that's too much. It's too much. I need some more certainty. There's people in the Bible that said, Lord, give me a little more certainty. Gideon said, I need a little more evidence, God. God didn't say, well, I'll just find somebody else. Thomas says, Lord, I need a little more evidence. God didn't say, get away from me. He said, you want evidence? I'll give you evidence. Yeah, I will help you. Go back to what we saw in Philippians 2. God will help us if we simply try. Simply try. Put the effort, the true effort, not a maybe kind of try. No, you really mean it, try. He's going to help. That's hard to live by a lot of times, but Hey, that's what growing as a Christian is, learning to trust. She trusted. She's willing to make sacrifices, lose Joseph, lose her reputation. What happened? The complete opposite. Complete opposite. She's honored today. So honored that there are people that pray to her. We have to make sacrifices to serve God. It may not be that much of a sacrifice. But look at Luke 9:23. What does Jesus say? Luke 9:23, Jesus says what kind of sacrifice every Christian has to make. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. It was hard to tell ourselves no. And take up his cross daily and follow me. There's some days I don't feel like serving Christ, and you don't either. But daily is the requirement. A lot of times we do what is right, whether we feel like it or not. That's what we got to do. You just got to do the right thing. Even if we don't feel like it, but we know like it, so do it. Daily. Romans 6:16-23 says, we got a choice of two masters. Most folks are like, hey, I don't want one. We're told you're being deceived. You're going to have one. But you get to pick. You're a slave to sin or you're a slave to righteousness. You got to pick one, though. Most people say, slave to sin because I can pretend I ain't a slave. We've seen her willingness to make sacrifices. We've seen her faith. We've seen her character. We've seen her importance. Now let's look at her persistence in faithfulness. The last verse in the Bible that mentions her by name is Acts 1:14. Acts 1:14. And there's a host of verses that we didn't look at that Mary is involved in different aspects of serving God and different aspects of Jesus' life. But we're going to move on to 1:14 and we'll get to see some of it. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, the apostles, verse 13, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. All right, this is there in Acts 2, the day of Pentecost. Pena means 50. 50 days after Jesus died on the cross. 50 days after Passover was Pentecost. And what do we see her doing? We talked about the grief seminar y'all had. We talked about the fact that all of us have experienced grief. So it's not a question of do I understand it. It's kind of more how much do I understand it. Some people have been hit harder than others. But we all have lost something important to us, including people. 50 days after the death of her son. Okay, 50 days. Think about where you were after your biggest loss. 50 days. But was your loved one, there's all kind of bad things that happen on earth, so there's some people that can say, I got a close comparison. But was it to this extent? She not only knew about him dying. Now, she knew the scripture, so she knew he was going to. She knew this. You can only imagine the conversations those two might have had. She knew it was coming, but that doesn't take the emotion out. All right, he died. She witnessed it. She was there. She didn't just witness his death. She witnessed his torture to death. She witnessed him after he left the torture of scourging or flogging before the cross. She witnessed him having to carry that cross until he couldn't anymore. Then she saw him die. She saw him while he died be nailed to a cross where he could have been just tied. If I haven't read the history wrong, if that ain't just a myth. From what I can tell, he was nailed, the others were tied. And then the mistreatment that the people around her had toward him. 50 days, what's she doing? Is she ticked at everybody? She mad at God? She might be. We don't know how she felt. But I know what she was doing. She still was serving God. Once again, it's not loving God doesn't always mean feeling like loving God. Loving means service, not how you feel while you do it. That's the difference. When we only serve God when we want to, we're in a convenience Christianity that is not scriptural. I'm grateful to God. There's times I want to serve Him. from my emotions. I feel like it. I'm feeling it now. It feels great to get to preach His Word. But, I mean, there's some places I could preach, and folks ain't going to really like what I'm saying, so I might not feel so good, not knowing how it's going to turn out. But we all experience this. But she didn't let her feelings dictate her actions. She didn't let her feelings dictate her faith. She did what was right. She remembered, hey, if I serve God, I'm going to get to be with God the Father. I'm going to get to be with Jesus again. So sometimes it's about serving God from the mind only until you can get the heart to meet it, to match it, to meet it. She was persistent in her faithfulness. So we see this morning her importance, her character, her faith, her willingness to sacrifice, and her persistence in faithfulness. This morning, we got one question left, but what about praying to Mary? Is she that important? Well, all you got to do is look at the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17, 4 and 5. When a similar situation occurred, Jesus was put on the same level by Peter as Elijah and Moses. And what was the response? He was told, no. Jesus is more important. They're important, but He's more important. He's the most important. And that would be the same answer for Mary, because what did Jesus say? Matthew 6, 9, pray to the Father, not to my earthly mother. So that would answer that question. But we do honor Mary as one of the best mothers of all time, and one of the best servants of God of all time, by the five things we looked at this morning. And as we've seen earlier, you can serve God too. No, you might not have to do anything near to the sacrificing that was required for Mary. But we all have to sacrifice. But keep in mind, we sacrifice for our jobs. We sacrifice for our schools. We sacrifice for our ball teams. So you already sacrifice. And it's not a question of I don't want to sacrifice. You want to sacrifice for something. What's wrong with doing the same for God? Sometimes we overcomplicate life. Love God as much as you love your hobbies, your jobs, your schools, your friends. Actually, more. But use that as an encouragement. Say, hey, I already am motivated this far in this area of life. I ought to really be motivated in the foundation. The Bible says in order to become a Christian, John 3:16, you need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Luke 13:3, you need with that belief to be willing to change your life, repent of your sins, be willing to serve God. Romans 10:10 says we need to confess with our mouth the faith that's in our heart. And then Galatians 3:27 says when we're baptized, we go through a transition of being out of Christ to in Christ. We're baptized into Christ. It's the bridge between being lost and being saved. If anyone needs to do that this morning, we'll gladly assist you in becoming a Christian. But if there's any member of the church here that's committed a public sin, and you need to publicly let it be known that you're acknowledging that sin, you're repenting of that sin, you're asking forgiveness as you leave that sin to be forgiven, then we'll forgive you, and so will God. But it may be that you don't have any sin to repent of, but you want your brothers and sisters to pray for you for strength in your walk with God. If you have any of these needs, please come to the front pew as we stand and sing the invitation song.